I just wanted to clarify before I transmit on a frequency not unauthorized to transmit on, so. But, okay, well, that's good. And, yeah, because I was calling on the 6-meter band today, and I didn't really get anyone, but I could always try again.
Yeah.
Class, so I agree with you 100%. KD2 GAJ.
Sorry, call band plan. KD2 GAJ.
If you go outside the band and somebody hears you, chances are a ham will hear you first, but if the FCC hears you, you probably get a nice little love letter notice of violation, although it's pretty busy and occupied with other things these days. And then you've got to kind of explain what happened. So keep a copy of that chart handy in front of you. There's a tech-only chart on the ARRL work site in the files section. Please take a look at that and keep that handy.
Yeah, my ham radio instructor actually gave me a copy of that, so I keep that readily available before I transmit or even question on what frequencies I can and cannot transmit on. So, but I definitely know 2-meter and 70-centimeter I can transmit on. Anything outside of that, I always double check on the chart before I transmit. KD2JAJ.
Well, it's not just that you can transmit, but you got to get the mode right and the power right as well. But we've got FM capabilities and privileges, I should say, in 70 centimeters, 2 meter, and 6. You've only got SSB and CW and Meridian data in certain parts of 10, but no FM on 10.
I couldn't agree with you more. KD2JAJ.
KD2IMB, Chris. You find a better location, WACQBC. Guess you moved to a worse location. So, whoa, what's up? Are you doing a 10-meter antenna now, or what's your next project?
Oh, well, I think at this point I want to set up a long wire and fed across my yard, set out for 80 meters, maybe do traps, or like Steve was saying, have the smaller wires hanging off, make it resonant on more bands, you know, horizontally across my yard. But I'm thinking just for 10 meter, considering the efficiency of them, doing a hamstick dipole screwed into the very tippy top of that massive tree, you know, kind of horizontally facing the rest of you guys down there in Jersey, and just using that as kind of a permanent 10 meter solution. What do you think, KT2WDJ?
Single hamstick or two hamsticks in a dipole configuration?
I was going to do two hamsticks in a dipole configuration.
It'll work, it'll be somewhat directional, it'll be highly suboptimal.
Alright, well, I can find them, find the cheaper equivalents on eBay for about $15, so I'll give it a shot.
Well, you can build something like what Steve uses for SOTA activation. Build an N-Fed and then a 9 to 1 turns ratio, it's actually 3 to 27. Build a balance, a matching balance for that. And your coax does act as a counterpoise for that N-Fed, where you can put a separate wire there. There's other variants, and for 80 meters, I just ran across the design earlier, which I knew you were looking for. It's a short 80 meter halfway, so it was about 80 feet or so, and it had a little loading coil in the middle on a 0.875 plastic core with, I want to say, something like 16 or 20 gauge magnet wire.
Say, what if I have a matching unit with an, I'm running an N-Fed for 10 meter right now, actually using one of these boxes, and it just doesn't work very well. I can't seem to get it to work that great, so figure height would be the ultimate solution, but to get that to work properly, I want to be on the correct polarization for the rest of you guys. All this 10 meter from the net is going to be ground wave, And in that situation, to stretch it out horizontally on the top of the tree, I figure hemp sticks are kind of self-supporting as it is, and they're not actually all that lossy, given their length on 10 meter. So I figure I'd give that one. That's why I was thinking that, because that's the infed for 10 is actually what I'm using now.
Well, it depends. Do you have a ballon in there as well as the proper turns ratio and the proper cap, or what kind of ballon do you have in there?
I do not know, but Steve built it, so he would know.
Okay, if it's a Steve special, it's probably got a 150 puff cap across the coax input. Transformer, it's got a 3-turn primary and a 27-turn secondary. That will do it, and your coax will act as a counterpoise in absence of anything else.
Sounds good. I got lots of experimenting to do, but now that I got my, you know, new rig, I got the rest of my life to mess with that stuff. And at least the cool part about antennas is they're the cheapest part of the hobby.
Okay. Fortunately, Walt, antenna setups could be the most expensive part of the hobby in a lot of cases, especially when you start talking towers and monoband or multiband beams up at a very high altitude.
I could go crazy, you know, five Yagis stacked on a tower or something, but my tower is this big old pine tree outside my window, and both the antennas I plan to mess with are going to be made out of wire or hemp sticks, so I'm going to keep it on the cheaper end of the spectrum here.
You could do a short length of RG8X and do an off-center fed from the tree by your house out to the trees in the backyard, and orient it such that broadside to the antenna is facing sort of southeast and whatever else. You should do pretty well with that.
Yeah, I may have to give that a try. I know Paul Hornstein, I forget his call, but he's the president of the Crystal Radio Club, said he had a G5RV he wanted to give me, and I'm wondering if I could modify that to an off-center fed dipole.
Just run the G5RV as is, just run the coax out to it, but G5RV has always needed an antenna tuner, but they'll do pretty much everything.
The problem with that is I would have to feed it from the middle of my yard, and I basically have a coax hanging through the air in the middle of my yard, probably hanging down in my driveway and stuff. I'd prefer to at least have an X-fed or a really short right side.
You can run the coax over to the corner of your house and then underneath the eaves. You don't have to let it droop all the way to the ground.
Well, I don't know what neighbors see in such a dark wire hanging in the air. I like the idea of the thin, nothing wire you can barely see, almost like fishing string wire. Something like that set up, if you know anything like that or any good wire I could run to make antennas with.
You'll be surprised, Walt, what happens when you put an antenna up, and even a big heavy piece of RG8 or something. Your backyard, as I recall, was kind of enclosed with a lot of trees and foliage around it. People outside are not going to see it.
I'm not worried about the people on the outside. I'm worried about my neighbors on the side. We could basically just look right into each other's yards. So, last thing I need is something. What are all those wires coming out of your tree? This and that. So it might spin. Invisible wire. I know a couple months ago I tried running a black wire with my 40 meter NFET, and that thing was great. The wire itself is only a couple millimeters, and I had to use paracord to keep the other end suspended because it actually terminated from halfway across my property, and it looked like from the air, from the ground, that there was just a piece of coax floating in the air with nothing supporting one end. And I was like, oh, wow, if I could get wire the whole other way, you know, you would never even really notice that thing in the air unless maybe you were looking for it. So I'd like to have an installation like that.
Why are you even concerned what the neighbor thinks about some wires running in your backyard?
The last thing I want is problems with the people I live next door to.
I'd just go ahead and put it up. They don't control what you do on your yard. If it's on their tree, it's another story, but put it up, and if they ask you, just tell it's for shortwave listening. You don't have to tell them you're a ham operator.
I suppose so. I'd rather, if I could to do something that less people see to begin with, and one less thing I got to worry about, you know what I mean?
When I was growing up, Walt, I had 40 feet of tower, another 10 foot of pipe above that, a rotor and a three-element tri-bander up, and my neighbors just learned to love it.
I'm sure you were a favorite conversation piece over dinner nightly, KC2WDJ.
The only problem I had was I was doing November sweepstakes, low-power single sideband. And some guy about three or four houses down complained that he was hearing me in his Heathkit organ, which was an unshielded piece of garbage. And I thought, look, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of a contest, and I'll try to do my best, but, you know, I can't stop in the middle of this thing. But, you know, we figured it out eventually. I had another neighbor when I initially put up a piece of wire up in a tree, and as soon as I put the wire up there, it was kind of a big monster loading coil about a foot in diameter. Neighbors started screaming that I was stealing signals from her TV, and I was making noise and interfering, and I said, oh, I haven't even finished building my radio yet. I'm not on the air. I'm not transmitting anything. And that quieted down. Then I had TVI later, which I solved on the telephone, and told her to get a hold of the phone company, and they put a filter in. But now with cable TV or Fios or whatever, TVI is mostly a thing of the past. AC2WDJ in the group, WH2QBC.
It reminds me years ago when I woke up my neighbors at 2 in the morning running a, let's just say, a special amplifier on the CB band. And my neighbors called me 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like, why could I hear you through every single device in my house that has a speaker? That was kind of a interesting wake-up call, literally, you know. But, hey, we all have our moments. It's all part about learning. I'm gonna call it a night, though, guys. I gotta get to bed, so I'm gonna say my 73s. Bruce, I'll probably see you at the next kit night. You'll be there. And everybody, have a good night. KC2WDJ with WA2QBC 73.
73s, Walt. I'll see you next Tuesday. And yeah, just put up the antenna, see how it works, get it cut to the right frequency so the SWR is low, and you shouldn't have a whole lot of issues there, and if you do, you worry about mitigating them.
Hello, Bruce. All right, have a good night. 73.
And technically, it's not your problem, it's the fault of the badly designed and unshielded other equipment that's the problem, but we hands do cooperate to help our neighbors out. 73 is Walt, AC2WDJ in the group, WH2QBC.
W2TTT.
Devil Gordon, good evening.
Howdy, howdy. I've only been listening for parts of the last 5 minutes. I say parts of these. I also ran into 7-Eleven just before I turned the radio on, but I take it the net was productive and happy, and thank you, Walter, for running it. Or not.
You did a good job, Walt. No problem at all. It was a short-lived, not so many people tonight, but Walt did a good job with the men.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm just heading down to Jeremy's hockey game, which will start in about 5 minutes, and I'm about 3 minutes away, so that's pretty good. You know, deal with that. Just rocking and rolling through life here. Hope you had a good day. Dear me. We, Randy and MGRSK and I had a little gathering about how we could deploy some network components and what we needed to do to get something to, for Fairlawn to talk to. And, well, when you look at the local topography, it's brutal. It really is. But we did find some spots, and, you know, that we had already identified that could probably work. But, I mean, even simple things like going from the Palisades to Wayne, it's not as easy as you might think because of all the stuff in between. It's amazing what you can see in 14 miles in the way of intermediate rock.
Yeah, I call it cumulogranite. Yeah. I've been spending a lot of time on topo maps. Actually, Google has the U.S. Geological Survey maps online. You can't go directly to the site. You can search through it on Google and then find it indirectly. The beginning part of the URL is mapsengine, one word, .google.com, but you need some other stuff on the end of it often to make it work. But you can feed in lat longe, you can feed in town. Sometimes it has problems with certain browsers. And then there's a slider in a left-hand box, and you can alternate between the topology map and the regular street map. And you can also, with a toolbar on the right side, select satellite, so you can alternate between satellite view and topography map, and obviously zoom in and zoom out. Very handy little tool.
Now, we've been using that for a while, but I think we need to run things through RMD for these past calculations. But use that. The other thing is, a lot of the groups apparently in West use depiction, and that, which has, doesn't have contour lines, but does have relief maps. Where? Anyway, I got you. So what we can do with depiction is you can do a lot of good stuff. You can just import like a bunch of map coordinates and heights and whatever else you want, and your icon that you want to put on the map, etc. It's very useful for that. What we're trying to do is find out if there's a way to import USGS data. Contour data into depiction. That would be useful. By the way, the 7.5-minute maps are available for free now on a straight download. So the only problem is that 7.5 minutes doesn't allow you to, unless you have a way to splice the graphics together, it's going to kind of be clunky. Anyway, I got to go. My son's game is starting in about a minute. So we'll see you later, Bruce. WA2QBC, W2DGT.
See you, Gordon. Half 10 on a weeknight for a kid's game, that seems awful late, but maybe that's just me. Anyway, 7-3 Gordon, I'll catch you another time. W2TTT, W8QBC.
He's 19 and a half, that's why W2TTT.
I can't say what I was doing at that age.
Plausible deniability is helping with time, but I hear you, W2TTT. Bye bye.
Cheers. KD2IMB, Chris, did you find something that worked yet? W8QBC. Sorry, Chris, you're not making the machine. You're just borderline, in and out. You're seeing it sometimes, but there's just not enough audio to do anything with. Altitude, Chris, and get the antenna outside on a decent heavy piece of coax, like RG8, maybe.
82, JJ.
Sergey, have you been listening all this time?
Yeah, I've been listening in and out.
Okay, were you running a BOFAC? You have a couple of different radios there, don't you?
Yeah, at the firehouse I was using a Yaesu 8900R. Right now I'm using a Zuentai 6188 Mini, which is a dual band Earth Chinese radio. 25 watts, 20 watts.
Guessing that's 2 meters and 70 centimeters?
You would be correct. I wish it was also 220, but unfortunately it's not, so. But I believe my mother is also looking for radio, KD2JIK. She's not going to be able to talk on a portable, but I am coming home and she is listening. KD2JIK.
Yeah, okay. You're picket fencing a little bit, but quite readable. And yeah, I'm guessing that the radio you've got is probably FM only. If you start getting into more modes, if you're looking for distance and skip and tropo and some of the other things, you're starting to look at horizontally polarized beams and single sideband and or CW. So, something to think about in the future, and good luck on studying for the general there. And you probably know that between Barra and Fairlawn, there are tests pretty much every single month throughout the winter.
Yeah, I need to start studying for my general. I'm currently in fire school, so I'm also studying for that. I'm not in college right now.
Yeah, there's some interesting mobile rigs running around that are pretty much all mode, all band. I jokingly call them DC to light. It'll do 160 through 70 centimeters, with the exception of 222. 222 seems to be mono band rigs. The 220 band, a former 220 band, which has shrunken a little bit on it, that always seems to be the exception and doesn't have a whole lot of activity on it.
Yeah, if I was to buy a 220 radio, it would probably be the Mayofang Portable. I believe it's the 82X X-ray. It does 220 megahertz. I wouldn't want to spend too much money into it because I know it's not in the back of it. As an HF radio, that's pretty much. So I would definitely purchase an HF radio before a 220 megahertz radio. 82J.
I don't know where you moved to, but your signal got a little weaker in the machine. It's a little noisier, but still readable. Yeah, I've got an assortment of different kinds of radios here. Some a mobile that does 160 through 70 centimeters, and a bunch of other FM dual banders, and a few other little things here. So I've got a couple of choices in radios. It's just a matter of, right now, is getting some antennas back up at the QTH here. And I'm working on that. It's just too many projects all going simultaneously, but I've been winding balun's, and I got plenty of spools of wire to work with, and insulators and coax and whatever else. I've been snapping up stuff at the Hamfest. I just picked up a big chunk of coax at the last Barra Hamfest.
Now, what's it called if I wanted to run coax to my house, and then I wanted, like, a, instead of a three-prong outlet, I would want a coax with a 259 connection. Do you know if they make those?
Sorry, say the question again. You broke up a little bit. Out there, I only caught little bits and pieces of it. Coaxial cable. Another time then, and maybe that gives you some ideas. And if you ever make it down to Kitten Tuesdays, and we have
alright, 73 82J, they will be there.
73 Sergey, 82JIJWA.